You. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And Jesus said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that Jesus might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today I'd like to just focus my words on the last part of that gospel where Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Deacon Charles and I will be preaching another series of, this time, five homilies on this whole topic of the kingdom of God. During these five homilies, we'll be touching on various aspects of what the kingdom of God means. What is the kingdom of God? How do we enter it? Obstacles that could prevent us from entering, and how we grow in that kingdom, and some other questions as well. Tonight's the first of these five homilies, and tonight I'd like to look at the question, well, first of all, what is Jesus referring to when he speaks about the kingdom of God? And how do we accept the kingdom of God into our lives? Those two questions. I think it's important because I used to think that whenever Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he was talking about heaven. But he's not. He's referring to something here and now. He's referring to something in our life on this earth. He's referring to something that we have to accept and be a part of now, otherwise we will not be a part of heaven. And how do we know that when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, he's referring to something here and now in this life? Well, it's really clear from the parables in Matthew's gospel. In the chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus gives seven parables in a row, and they all begin with the words, "The kingdom of God is like." For example, he says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who went out to sow seeds in his field." The parable of the sower. Another parable is a kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, and while he slept, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. And another one was, he said, a kingdom of God is like a man who finds a treasure hidden in a field, and in his joy he sells all that he owns and buys the field. So obviously these parables have nothing to do with heaven. Because in heaven, no one needs to search for anything. No one has anything to sell and in order to buy. No one has to work at sowing seeds. And there are no weeds or evil in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, in fact, spoke about the kingdom of God and used that phrase, kingdom of God, 90 times in the Gospels. So for Jesus to talk about something so often means it must be very important, something dear to his heart and important to his heart. So what does he mean by the kingdom of God if it's obviously not referring to heaven? Well, it becomes a little bit clearer when Jesus sends out the apostles to preach. And he says to them, now you go out and proclaim the good news. If anyone refuses to listen to you, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Nevertheless, say the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, by saying the kingdom of God has come near to you, he doesn't mean that all these people the apostles went to were about to die and go to heaven. No, it means that they were listening now to the teachings that Jesus had given to his apostles. And if people would have accepted these teachings, then God's grace, his spirit, would have come to enter the darkness of their hearts and establish in their hearts and lives a relationship with Jesus. So this friendship, this personal relationship with Jesus, with God, it's a friendship that begins here on earth, but then is perfected in the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of God already begins here on earth in our hearts and in our lives by our relationship and friendship with Christ and accepting his grace into our hearts and lives. So the kingdom of God in these parables of Jesus refers to all the people who are accepting God's grace into their hearts and lives and therefore are becoming part of his church, part of his family here on earth. Now, the church does not refer to buildings or an institution. It refers to a people, people who have accepted this grace from God and are part of his family. And so what is the first and necessary step in becoming part of God's kingdom, part of his church on earth? Well, the very first and necessary step is baptism. Jesus told us this when he spoke with Nicodemus, and he said to him, truly I tell you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So being born of water and the Spirit means being born of water and prayer, prayer which invokes the Holy Spirit to come to the person being baptized and make that person a child of God. So baptism is a first step into the kingdom of God, into the church, into his family. Before baptism, we are all created by God and we're his creatures, but technically we're not yet his children. We are not yet children of God until we are adopted into his family by some form of baptism. And so parents who refuse to baptize their children and refuse to bring them up in the faith, they're actually doing a great spiritual harm to their children. They're depriving their children of the grace of baptism, the grace of being adopted into God's family and considered one of his children. And by not bringing them to the church for the sacraments and to hear the word of God, they're depriving their children of the spiritual food they need in order to build up their hearts. And so these children then will grow up largely ignorant of the ways of God, just simply not knowing. Yet, at the same time, the parents will allow them to watch TV, play video games, read books, go on the internet, which teaches them the ways of the world. And as they grow, they will accept and adopt these ways of the world in their own lives because they know nothing else. And then it will make them harder for them to come to God later in life because they have all these obstacles in their hearts. And so that's why Jesus warned against this today when he said, do not prevent little children from coming to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. In other words, children and people who are childlike in heart, they are the ones who are most suited to being part of God's family and part of his church here on earth. But then once a child is baptized, the child needs to be guided and taught about Jesus and the ways of God as they continue to grow older. Parents need to model for their children what it means to be a disciple of Christ, because children learn from example. And then one day, as the child grows, the child themselves need to consciously decide for God themselves. Consciously, they need to then decide to give their hearts and lives to Christ and to live for Him. There's a story of Peter Marshall that illustrates this very well. Peter Marshall was a famous chaplain to the United States Congress, and his life story became a popular movie called A Man Named Peter. And his wife, Catherine, wrote a book called Something More. And she said in her book that one day her daughter Linda was about to take a shower. Linda had one foot in the shower stall and the other foot on the bathroom rug. And as she stood there in this awkward position, it suddenly occurred to her that this was a really good picture of her life. Linda had always wanted to commit her life to Christ, but she could never quite do it, not fully. She always kept one foot in and one foot out. And now it just seemed like the moment had come where God was asking her what her decision would be. Was she going to decide for Jesus or against Jesus? For the world or against the world? Standing there, Linda thought of what choosing the Lord would cost her. The price would be high. She would need to make sacrifices, changes in her life. But she also was tired of living in two worlds and enjoying neither one. So Linda paused for a long time, thought about it, then took a deep breath, and she said out loud, "Lord, I choose you." And so what happened to Linda must eventually happen to all of us, to all babies who are baptized. There becomes a moment of decision. Do we commit our lives to Jesus or do we not? Do we follow the ways of Jesus or do we follow the ways of the world? And so this invitation to accept Jesus and give our hearts and lives to Him, that's a grace that comes from God. God was offering Linda that grace. He was inspiring her, enlightening her on the inside, and He was leaving her free to make the decision. And so people whose hearts are childlike, who believe in, trust in God's goodness, realize that God loves them and that that love is most important to them, they will easily give their hearts and lives to Christ over and over again. They will accept the grace offered to them because they believe in God's promises that He will take care of them and He will only allow what is good for them and help them reach heaven. This idea of just totally giving ourselves to God, and that children do this very naturally and easily, whereas adults, we often have a lot of obstacles. That was brought true in a story I read some time ago about some new parents. They were at the bottom, both mom and dad were at the bottom of the stairs, and they were watching their young daughter come down the stairs for the very first time, you know, sitting on her bum and going from stair to stair to stair. And they were wondering if they should maybe go and help her or whether the time had come for her to try to go down the stairs on her own. And they stood at the bottom, not quite making up their minds yet one way or the other, when the daughter, when she was partway down the stairs, suddenly just stood up and leaped into the air towards them. She had a big smile on her face and said, "Catch me, Daddy." And so I think the trust of little children is just amazing. And I think that is a good example for us in our relationship with God. So let us pray today for the grace for our family members, relatives, and all the people in the parish who maybe have not yet brought their children to church for baptism, that they may be given the grace to do so, that these little ones can be adopted into God's family right away and become part of His kingdom from the earliest age. And let us also pray for their parents and each one of us that we may have that trust and faith of that little child who said, "Catch me, Daddy." So that each day, in each circumstance, we simply throw ourselves into the arms of God, saying, "Lord, let your will be done in my life." If young children see that we trust God in every circumstance, that we seek to only love Him and do His will, and that brings us peace and joy, then they will want the same for themselves, and then their lives will be richly blessed.